The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
In chapter 2, we had this profound paradigm shift where Bhagavan said that yourself is imperishable. That which perishes is not yourself. That's not who you are. And we all have this inkling in our life that even though we have now come to realize the perishable nature of this body, mind, and intellect. Body is very obvious. Thing which was pretty solid and strong is no more solid and strong. You know, my teeth are falling apart. So that's very obvious because we see this change and know its perishable nature. But there is still an inkling in our heart there is something imperishable and something which will remain always there. And chapter 2 clarified that that imperishable is yourself. Now, fast forwarding to 8th chapter, Bhagavan says, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. That imperishable is Supreme Brahman. So, myself, as I consider, there is something in me which is imperishable. That gives me this sense of existence that I cannot think of me being non-existing. There's not a single person on this planet who can imagine him being not existing. You may hypothesize and say, when I will not be there. But you in your core of your heart will never be able to imagine that you are not there. Therefore, our world revolves around us being there. So Bhagavan said that Aksaram Brahma Paramam, making the connection with the two, that which you unconsciously feel an imperishable part of you is the imperishable Brahman, all-pervading self. Then Bhagavan says, Adhibhutam Kshram Bhava. That pertaining to this Prakriti, this nature. So everything in this nature, as we see, is perishable. It comes into being in creation and then dissolves into something else. It's actually changing from one state of existence into another. That's why it's also we heard the word samsara, samsarati, iti samsara, that which is constantly changing. Existence remains existence, which is constantly changing in its state of existence, is samsara. That which I see as perishable is part of this nature. So when I superimpose that on my understanding of me, that which I feel is imperishable is the Brahman. That which I feel is perishable, this body, this mind, this things which I used to remember very easily, I don't remember anymore, you know. So those, my mind, my intellect are perishable. So they must be part of this Prakriti. So they belong to this Prakriti, Adhibhutam. That which I feel is imperishable belongs to Brahman. Now the goal here is, it's very easy for me to identify with this perishable part of me. But I have a difficulty identifying with imperishable part of me. The goal of the chapter is to give that tool for us to change that identification from the perishable to the imperishable. So we first saw the definition. Then Bhagavan gave his identification, Kavim Puranam Anusasitaram, that Brahman which is ancient, you know, all-knowing, his lordship over everything. In other words, nothing can exist without that. How do I go from where I am now to that Brahman? Bhagavan says, the Ananya Chetahas one who remembers me without any second, for him it is very difficult to make this transition from identifying with this self to that self. And then we have seen that no matter what we think, the existence remains existence either in unmanifest form or manifest form. So we continue to go from unmanifest to manifest to unmanifest to manifest. You know, as I have given example of, I remain unmanifest as an architect during Sunday morning and then remain unmanifest as Gita lecturer throughout the week. But both remain existing all the time, either in a form of unmanifest or form of manifest. And how long they will be? As long as I have desire to be both. As long as my desire to identify with them, they both will exist as unmanifest or manifest. Therefore, Bhagavan said that Brahma's one day is thousands of eons. As long as my vasanas will continue to enjoy the experiences through this nature, this material nature, I will remain existing, either in unmanifest form or manifest form. And obviously, in a very elaborate way, explain all these beings with all their desires and vasanas will continue to exist for all these eons till the pralaya comes at the end of the day. They will remain unmanifest for the eons to come, but then come back again with the same force according to their vasanas. There is no overlordship from others compelling you to be this or that. Your own vasanas decide what you want to be. And I said, this cycle continues. How long? Infinity. Because it one to the another, to one to another, it continues. Just as there will be always a day at the end of the night, there will always be a night at the end of the day, this cycle of existing as unmanifest and manifest will continue till infinity. Except one escape hatch. When I identify with the Supreme, imperishable, then it will. So now what are the paths the seekers take in life? We all are seeking permanence. Either permanence of my existence or permanence of my happiness. That's why in Indian olden time, the first thing they ask for a marriage is, does he have a permanent job? Temporary job doesn't count. Permanent job. What is your permanent address? You know, all forms used to have this. What's your permanent address? They don't have it anymore, at least in America, I don't see it. But in India, every form we filled out, your current address and a permanent address. You know, we are all seeking permanence. The permanence, Bhagavan said, only comes with one, which is imperishable. In this case, Bhagavan says, puna avrutti, constantly coming with dukkhalayam asashvatam. The nature of this world, the prakriti is, it is dukkhalayam. It doesn't mean that it's a house of pain. It literally means that pain is only possible here. It's only possible because of our perception of limitedness. Therefore, there will be conflicts. Something which I like and something I don't like. Asashvatam. Because it is impermanent. The dukkha comes from the impermanent nature of this world. That which I thought is wonderful from 2000 to 2007 in economy, did not know it is impermanent. It's gone. You know. So to this, what we think is a very miserable time for the US economy is not permanent. We know that. How long, we do not know. That uncertainty creates dukkha. The Bhagavan says, the one who has identified with the imperishable, this impermanence is not relevant to him. So the last four verses gives us the two paths. We are all seeking happiness, all seeking permanence, but we may be seeking to either one path or the other. both paths are available to all of us, to all beings, Bhagavan said, you know. The first path, which we have seen last time, Agnihi Jyotihi Ahaha Shuklaha Sanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vido Janaha. At the end of this state of existence, in the time of my transformation to the next existence, whether we call it death, we call it whatever. At the time of the death of this existence, where will I go? Bhagavan says, whatever will be your last thought. That's the last time where you will be deciding what my next stop would be. So therefore, you will be, obviously will go to that. But from there, what will be your journey? It is the journey will be there through the path of Agnihi, Jyotihi, Aha, Shuklaha, Sanmasa, Uttarayanam. Tatra Prayata Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vedo Janaha. The people who take the path of sun, which is here described as a path of the fire, the brilliance, the daytime, bright light, and northern path is path for the yogis who are the knower of the Brahman, the yogis, they will attain the Brahman. And the Swamiji explained here that these are the analogies or metaphors or the descriptions taken from the Upanishads. You know. The Upanishad describes these paths. You know. One, taking from the Prashnopanishad, the Swamiji explained, is there are, in the beginning, the Prajapati, the creator created the two, the sun and the moon. Prajapati creator himself became the sun and the moon. Sun being representing the energy, moon representing the matter. Now, as I always say, this sages, when they were researching and contemplating on the nature of the self, they had nothing to go by but their observations of the nature. So obviously they have observed that sun is the source of all the energy. Everything starts from the sun's existence. And its solar energy makes us who we are. The moon represents the matter. So there are two distinct perceptions of what the energy and the matter is. Sun represents the energy, the source. Moon represents the matter. One represents the brilliance, the daytime, northern, when sun goes to the north, solstice, it is the highest in the sky. So it considered the higher. So the one goes through the path of the sun, the path of the source. You're reaching to the source of your own being. That leads to that source which says you are that permanent Brahman. With the ignorance burnt by the light of knowledge that I'm not this limited being, I am that permanent self, infinitely existing. My ignorance is burnt about my identification with this lower nature, and I ultimately achieve my union with my own self, which is all-pervading Brahman. On the other hand, say the same efforts which I am putting right now to find that permanence and happiness in life, into the path of Prakriti, the matter. As I last time said, if I had decided that I have so much there in India to enjoy, I need to go back. So even though I have come here, my goal remains to go back to where I have come from. Because I have assigned my happiness into the experiences which I can find in India and not here. In the same way that the seekers of happiness, seekers of permanence, seekers of liberation from this limitedness, they find that it comes into this experience in this Prakriti, then they will rise into that realm of Prakriti, but constantly will be coming back to gain more and more karma. This is, as we said, is the Upanishadic explanation of that karma mukti. And in one with the karma vidhi upasana. Karma means actions, selfless actions, with the clear understanding that I am not the doer, liberates me. Karma without upasana binds me to this prakriti. So the next path is dhumo ratri tatha krishnaha sanmasa dakshinayanam. Dhumo, smoke, night, darkness, this 6 months of dakshinayanam, going toward the south. I guess this 6 months is just an analogy of dividing the whole year into two parts, you know. Just as a day and night, bright and dark, one is the higher rising, 6 months of Uttarayanam and a declining of whatever the sun's position. Tatra chandramasam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. Both are seeking the same thing. Both yogis have the same goal, but they have taken a different route. One has come to the conclusion that my permanency is not in identifying with impermanent things and beings. Others have decided that his happiness, permanency is into conquering the impermanence in the prakriti. So as we have seen this so many times before, that you rise into your siddhi, into this prakriti, and reach a place to enjoy your siddhis, popularly known as heaven. You know, that you go and fulfill your desire of, you know, stay in heaven. You know. As I always say, the 50 weeks you work hard and 2 weeks to go to Hawaii, the heaven on this planet. But as soon as those 2 weeks are over, because I have only earned, that's why we call it earned leave, at least in my profession we call earned leaves. I work 50 weeks, so I earned 2 weeks of vacation. And I achieve that siddhi of going to Hawaii for 2 weeks. As soon as 2 weeks are over, I have to come back again to regain my 2 weeks. Working for another 50 weeks, go back and come back again. So Bhagavan says, those, tatra chandramasam jyotihi yogi prapya nivartate. That yogi comes back to again doing the karma so that he achieves that again. This is a path of return, and there is a path of liberation. Both are seeking liberation. One has decided that's the whole, just giving up the whole ignorance will lead him to liberation. Others said, conquering all the little ignorances. I will now learn Bhagavad Gita, then I'll learn this, and then I'll also learn Bible, and then I'll also learn this, then I'll also learn this. I'm constantly trying to conquer my ignorance in a small packets. And therefore I have to come back to the same thing over and over again. Sukla Krishne gati hiyate jagatha sasvate mate. These two paths are available in this world. Sukla and Krishna, the path of brightness and path of darkness, are available since time immemorial, since the world has come into existence. Ekaya yatyanavrittim anyaya avartate punaha. With one you never come back to the same misconception about who you are, and other constantly coming back. That's the only difference, Bhagavan said. These two paths are available to all beings, Bhagavan said. Naite sruti partha janan yogi muhyati kaschana. But yogi who knows the both the paths, he never gets deluded. Say, if I have both the options available and I am aware of both, then I can evaluate and say, this is a better path. But if I have only known one path, then I may never know there is a path exist on the other side. So the yogi who knows both the paths, he never gets confused with this. you will always choose a right path. If I know all the routes from, that's why now GPS not only gives you a route, it gives you options, you know. When you put a GPS and there are three routes found, which one? One is the fastest, other one is slowest, but, you know, scenic. Then you say, well, now that I know all the three routes, I can choose myself, you know. My first GPS didn't give me that. It simply says, go this way, and if you don't like it, too bad, you know. So one, he says, the Bhagavan says, one, the yogi who knows both the paths, he will never get confused. He will choose the one which is the most appropriate for his sadhana of seeking the permanence and infinite happiness. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Here comes the prescription. Therefore, O Arjuna, all the time become yogi. And then become one with yourself. That way you will know what is the correct path for reaching your own self. Vedesu yagnesu tapasechu eva danesu yat punya phalam pradistam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upeti chadyam. Sometimes we go to this temple and there are those boards stuck in this. You know, doing this puja, you get 1,000 times, you know, the punya of doing this, right? Sponsor puja today, so you can get this. And somebody like us may get, you know, I had been going to Gita class, but I had not been doing this. So maybe I have some problem here. You know, I may be missing out on some big time punyas here. So let's do both, you know. That way we are covered, you know. Let's do this, sponsor puja, as well as Gita class, I'm covered. Bhagavan says, don't worry about it. Everything which is described in the Shruti and Smriti, Vedas and the Puranas, there are myriads of ways are given for the evolution of yourself. Some says, do the charities, and you will rise above your... Some says you do this tapas. Some says you do the bhakti. Some says you do this. Because they are given to the myriads of people, so various means are given to them. It's not the one path fits all. All are there for your antahkaran shuddhi. Doing dana, doing tapar, for what? For purifying your internal instrument. Once the internal instrument is purified, the knowledge of the self will shine through automatically. So Bhagavan said, all these paths for antahkaran shuddhi are valid. Yoga, meditation on yourself, gives you equally good result, or the higher than that result. So yogi param sthanam upeti chadyam. Therefore, a yogi will achieve the highest state which is there to be attained, which is finding your own self and finding that permanence which you are seeking. With that, we ended the chapter 8. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.